For millions of fans of The Great British Bake Off, or The Great British Baking Show, as it's known here in the U.S., Paul Hollywood needs no introduction. He's the judge whose handshake of approval of a superbly baked baked good gets this kind of reaction.
I really love you, Paul.
But Paul Hollywood also has decades of experience in the kitchen, beginning in his father's bakery as a kid. He's worked in the finest hotels in Britain and around the world. He's also written several best-selling cookbooks. In his latest book, the first in 5 years, Paul Hollywood decides to share his versions of classic recipes. It's called Bake, and Paul Hollywood joins us now to talk about it. Welcome to the program.
Hello. Thank you very much indeed. Thank you for that introduction.
Well, it's so nice to have you. The subtitle of your book is My Best Ever Recipes for the Classics. How did you go about finding and tasting these particular classic recipes?
I mean, they are a blend of things that I like, basically. So it's a very indulgent book from that point of view. The recipes themselves are recipes that I've known most of my life. And I just wanted to revisit some of them because they have changed slightly over the years through either the need to reduce sugar, reduce salt, and the fact that, you know, some of the bakers that come in the tent started bringing in these classics again. And I'd forgotten about them. And I thought, I need to look at those again because they are such beautiful things to eat. I think the pizzas and the donut chapter in particular was a real want for me. I really wanted a chapter just on pizzas and donuts. And they're my favorite things to eat.
I love the pizzas and the donuts, too. But let me ask you about the classic cakes, because there are some gorgeous ones. A chocolate fudge cake, a lemon drizzle cake, a sticky ginger loaf. And I noticed, Paul, that several of the recipes that you have use a combination of butter and margarine, which are interesting ingredient choices together. Yeah. Tell me what each brings to the recipes.
Butter brings flavor. And a margarine or a shortening often brings flake, so it brings texture. So a blend between the two is the perfect thing to put in a cake. And I think that's why I did it. I went back to a recipe my nan used to do, and she used to put lard in some of the UK scones and butter.
Well, and also you suggest using super fine sugar. Tell us what that is and how it changes the taste of a recipe.
It won't change the taste. It makes the baking and the method of baking easier. If you use a sort of large granulated sugar, often you have to get rid of the crunch in a batter. So if you start with a super fine sugar, then you're most of the way there already.
Most cakes have the same core ingredients, right? So it really comes down to the flavors you add, like bananas, ginger, raisins, cherries, chocolate, whatever you choose.
Yeah, absolutely. You've got the flour, the butter, the eggs and the sugar. That's the sort of core of most sponges. And then on top of that, then you either add milk or you can add any other. You put meringue in it. And again, it's all about what texture you want. And then on top of that, you've got your flavor, whether it's citrus or chocolate or fruit.
And then there's the Victoria sandwich, which is a beautiful one. And you say if you're new to baking, this is the first cake that you should try. Tell us about the Victoria sandwich.
Well, basically, a Victoria sandwich is just flour, butter, eggs and sugar. And traditionally in the UK, you make two cakes from the one recipe, which you split between the two tins, normally about 8 inch. And then you bake them off, cover the top in raspberry jam, and then you sandwich one in raspberry jam, and then pop the other one on top. It is literally that. It's literally a sandwich, and that's where the name came from, a Victoria sandwich, because it's that recipe that you can throw together. You put it all in a bowl and just mix it all together, and it works beautifully.
All right, from cakes to bread, you have a number of bread recipes in this book. Yeah. And bread was actually one of the first things you learned to make at your father's bakery as a kid, a proper loaf of bread. Have you adhered to his original techniques?
I mean, yes. And weirdly, my dad was using the high-speed method in his bakery. When he first started, he was using the very slow method with the spiral mixer, which creates a very creamy dough. And often uses very little yeast and uses long fermentation to get the flavor in the bread. So he'd do 24 or 48 hour doughs. Mm. And what I've done weirdly is gone back to the way my dad used to do it. I've pulled away from the high speed dough, which is where the mix is moving that quick, it creates heat in the dough and then it grows rapidly. But the problem with that is if a dough grows rapidly or proves rapidly or quickly, you don't get much flavor. So the beauty of making bread, and I make bread at home very often. I mean, I've just come back from New York for the last 4 days. And the first thing I did this morning was threw a dough together to add some bread for toasted sandwiches. So that's still rising at the moment.
I can smell it from here, Paul.
I think it's a great thing to make at home. And it's pretty straightforward making a tin bread, because once you've made the dough, whether it's by hand or in a mix, and I encourage people to use their hands initially, because then you remember what the dough should feel like. Mm. And then you prove, then you knock the air out and then shape it to put in the tin. The beauty of using a tin is there's only one way that can rise, and that's straight up, because obviously it's in a tin.
So how do you convince people like me who think it's just too much trouble, too much work?
Have you ever made a casserole?
Of course, yes. I love to cook.
You see, the thing is with bread, if you weigh all your ingredients up correctly and put it into a mixer with a dough hook, you put it all in, put 3/4 of the water in and mix that for about 4 minutes. Throw the rest of the water in, mix it for another 5 minutes, and then take the hook off and then cover the bowl in some food wrap or a plastic bag. Leave it for a couple of hours, 2-3 hours. Bring it out, flatten it with your hand, fold the sides in, roll it into a sausage, put it into a tin. Again, put that inside a plastic bag, you know, supermarket bag. Leave that to rise for 2 hours and bake it off. It'll be the best thing you've ever done. It will change your life. Baking bread is one of the oldest things in the world, historically.
In fact, you write, at the heart of almost any culture in the world, you'll find some kind of bread. And you can tell a lot about the history of a society by the bread it bakes.
Yeah, you can. I mean, if you look at the sort of unleavened breads and the nomadic, and you look at the Israelites leaving Egypt, for instance, you're looking at people that were on the move, and flatbread or unleavened bread was used. And often when you look at this South America as well, where the corn, the tortilla, it's about getting hold of the flour itself with its corn flour, and then they produce this paste, which then turn into their tortillas. But again, you could move it around everywhere. And that's a big advantage when you're starting, you know, a bread and you're learning how to make bread. The cultures that produced the loaves with air inside it were the Egyptians, were the Romans, and were the Greeks. It's not an accident they were the most powerful movements of their time. I mean, first it was the Egyptians, then it was the Greeks and the Romans. But their empires stayed in one place, and therefore they could build retained ovens. And that's why you get risen loaves. So it's the history of the human. It's our DNA. It's our culture throughout the world. It's fascinating.
Well, let me ask you about the Great British Baking Show. You've been doing the show for 13 years. Yeah. Have you been surprised by what a phenomenon it has become, not only in the UK, but also here in the US?
Yeah. I mean, even on this trip to New York, the amount of people that stopped me and said, oh, I watched the Great British Bake Off and I watched the baking show. It was just amazing, the reaction from people in the US who have really got hold of the Bake Off. I think through the pandemic, they've got hold of it because they've had more time. They've obviously needed box sets. And I think people enjoyed watching this very easygoing, very easy watching series, and hopefully got into baking as well.
You know, I've been watching for years, and it seems to me that your bakers are getting better over the years.
Yeah, sure.
Am I right about that?
Well, I'm giving out more handshakes.
Okay. You're leading me to it. The famous Hollywood handshake.
I know. It's ridiculous, isn't it? I don't know how it started. I mean, I think it was series 2 or possibly 3. And it was just me being enthusiastic about someone's baking. You know, I saw it and I thought, wow, that's incredible. I shook their hand and they were really grateful for it. I never thought I'm going to do that again. It just naturally happened again, maybe a couple of weeks later. It was just my way of saying, a patting them on the back and saying, well done. It's certainly not.
but some fans say you're doling out the handshake too much now. And well, am I reading correctly that you may retire it, Paul?
No, that's rubbish. I think ultimately, when you look at the handshake itself, it comes down to the style of the bacon and the quality of the bacon. And you said it yourself. I think the bakers are getting better and better. They're almost borderline professional now. Mm. And that's why there's so many dished out at the moment.
What's your favorite recipe in the book, Paul?
I'd have to say the sourdough. I mean, there's lots of people that do sourdough, but I wanted one that was approachable, usable, bulletproof, And it's the one I'm most proud of. It's the one that I took me ages to get all the elements right and the timing right for people to copy it in their houses. And I think that's what I want people to make it their own too.
Well, you take that sourdough and you share it, because in the book you say baking is all about sharing, really, at the end of the day.
It is. And I think, you know, when you think of baking, whether it's a cake or it's a loaf or whatever it is, it's the thing that sits in the middle of the table, the family table. And around that are things that go with it. The loaf is the focal point. If you've got a cake, then it sits in the middle. So baking is quite an important thing in our history. And I think it's a thing that everyone should really get into and enjoy, hopefully.
Well, enjoy the loaf coming out of your oven right now.
I certainly will.
Paul Hollywood, the great British bake-off judge. His new cookbook is Bake, My Best Ever Recipes for the Classics. Paul Hollywood, thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thank you very much.